Today, if you want to be looking, we'll be looking at a couple of verses in Isaiah. One of them comes from Isaiah chapter 9, which you've already heard. The other one is one verse from Isaiah chapter 7. So as you're looking for that, I'll give you a minute. Advent, if you're not familiar with it, ad in Latin means to, and vent means come. So we are in an Advent season where we are anticipating of what is yet to come. It's impressive how that works, Bob. They just appear. So as we consider Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is what we read. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth and will be called Emmanuel. If we look back at the beginning of chapter 7 of Isaiah, and that's why if you've got your Bible, I truly invite you to have it open. I'm not going to go back and read all of that chapter, but I think it could be beneficial, if not now, later, for you to go back and look at that. But you will see at the beginning of chapter 7 of Isaiah, King Ahaz was in a predicament. The armies of Syria and Ephraim made a coalition, and they were planning to invade Judah and fight against Jerusalem. God told the prophet Isaiah to go to Ahaz and tell him the attacking armies will not be able to succeed. Now, this is no doubt something Ahaz would hope for, but it was hard to believe. So God spoke to Ahaz and told Ahaz, "Ask me for a sign." But Ahaz refused, saying, "I will not put the Lord to the test." God responded, and here is what we get in verse 14. God has responded to Ahaz and said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel." What a promise. A promise from the Lord himself that came true. But this promise, this truth, this hope was not just for Ahaz. It carries on to us today. When we are faced with situations that could seemingly rob us of all hope, we are to remember God never promised us this world would be a bed of roses, or that following him would result in a comfortable life. God-sized hope is founded in the promises of God, God's love, and God's action. We learn to anticipate and experience the results of such hope in the midst of struggles. As we talk this week and the next weeks leading up to Christmas, I really want us to not just come and talk about Christmas words. I want us to leave here living out the hope of Jesus Christ in such a way that others see it in us. Maybe they don't know exactly what it is, but that they know there is something different about the way we live life, about the way we anticipate what is yet to come, about the way we deal with what is happening each day. Advent, the coming of the Christ child, is about relationships. And one of the primary ways we relate to God is through prayer. Unfortunately, at times, our prayer communication with God can be empty. Have you ever been talking to someone and feel the words they are sharing with you are just that, words with no real meaning? You know what I'm talking about? I want you to understand it. I'll say it again. Have you ever been talking to somebody and when you're talking, they may be saying some really nice, flowery, feel-good stuff, but really, it feels like it's just words, and it doesn't really have any meaning. Or have you ever been talking with someone and have them tell you that what you're sharing feels like empty words? Our prayers are empty because we don't trust God as much as we trust our own ability. Even when we failed over and over. Our prayers are often empty because we can't move past the pain and the frustration of waiting for God's response. So maybe we pray, but what we pray we don't really trust or we don't really mean or we say that, but then we go take care of it ourselves in the way we think is best without really allowing God to be a part of. That's what makes a prayer empty. Perhaps during this season of Advent, we need to be willing to pray differently. And by differently, it may mean praying less religiously and more faithfully. Not trying to imitate a church prayer, use big words, but to seek God personally in your own life. And pray from your heart. I'm going to share something. And Clay, I hope this is okay. I met with Clay last week. And as we talked, we were talking about some exciting things with the young adult group. And I asked Clay, I said, Clay, how do you feel about praying? He looked at me and he said, well, I just think it'd be good for you to pray this time. I said, well, no, you're going to pray. And I'm going to pray too. But I just want you to feel comfortable. Because Clay, I see in you leadership. I see in you where God's working in your life and others looking at you, and I just know it's there, and I don't want to put something that's not there. I just want to help you be able to be comfortable with that. So if you would, if you'd just say a prayer from your heart, and then I'll close. And that was pretty much all I said. Clay had one of the most genuine heartfelt prayers I've ever heard. There was no pretentiousness. There didn't seem to be any kind of nervousness. He was truly just talking to God about what we had done and about what we were hoping for and asking God to bless that. And it was amazing. And I don't say that to lift Clay up, although I'm very proud and thankful for Clay. But that's what I mean by not having an empty prayer. Not trying to impress somebody. Not trying to make sure you say all the right words. But just having a conversation from your heart about what's important to you, because if it's important to you, it's important to God. Let's maybe think about praying differently this year. And then trust God. Take time to realize where God has been at work in your life and have faith that He can and will continue to work on your behalf. To think and move and act accordingly. This hope is an active one in which requires action on our part. Hope is not something you just hope and sit back and wait for. If you're hoping for something, God will actively be a part of what's taking place. Another thing that will help address those empty prayers is to pray through the struggle. Waiting is a central part of Advent. And waiting is something we humans don't do very well. We are waiting for the birth of the baby, waiting for that white candle in the middle to be lit. But in our lives, we must also go through periods of waiting. Just because things have not fallen into place as we desire does not mean God is not present. We can know God's strength. We can know God's grace. We can know God's wisdom and know that they're available to us. And this is how we focus our prayer. And then from that, we can understand what there means to be light in the darkness. The more time you spend with God, the closer you become. The more you realize God will come through every time if we just allow ourselves to receive what God has to give. Let's look back at the verse we began during the lighting of the hope candle. If you've got it, I want you to look back at that. Let's look back at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. I'll give you a minute because it's on the screen too. You can see it there. But I think it's important. If you can leave that up on the screen for this, it would be good. For to us a child, government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here is where you find the light of hope. He will be called, first of all, Wonderful Counselor. Are you not sure which way to go? How to go about making a particularly big decision? Or maybe right now, it's more about a bunch of small decisions that are becoming overwhelming. Do you need someone to give you guidance, to give you insight, to give you direction? God has provided you with the perfect gift in which to find hope. A wonderful counselor. Do you find yourself living in a world that's overwhelming? Are you feeling weak because you're carrying the weight on your shoulders? Is it becoming emotionally, mentally, and difficult to put one foot in front of the other? God has provided you with the perfect gift in which to find hope. Mighty God says, come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Do you ever feel alone? Like no one really understands you or even knows what's really going on in your life. God has provided you with a perfect gift in which to find hope. An everlasting Father who will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Is your stomach ever in knots? Are you unable to sleep because of worrying? Are you distressed and anxious, living in constant internal conflict? God has provided you with a perfect gift in which to find hope. A Prince of Peace. For Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. And do not. This is truly God's gift to you through Jesus Christ. Claim it and live it It is yours. It is your gift from God in the form of His Son, Jesus, manifest itself daily in your life through the Holy Spirit. Which do you really need at this moment? Seek Him. Claim Him as your Lord and Savior. Allow Him to be your wonderful Counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, and your Prince of Peace. You will know and experience the reality of hope and in every single circumstance. What are you hopeful for? Really? This is my challenge. As we continue in the days leading up to the birth of the Messiah that we'll celebrate, hope for the impossible. For the impossible is possible with God. Hope for the unexpected. For our minds are too small to anticipate the plans of God. Hope to experience change, for God desires continually in Him. Hope to be an active part of what is yet to come, for God has called you to be a part of the ongoing Christmas story.